Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the... Play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Welcome to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I am so happy that I have my old buddy on the line right now. Roy Edwards. Roy G., how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you, Bruce?
God, you sound like you're at the Super Bowl. I only wish. How about, listen, you have no idea how many phone calls I made to Arizona to help some broker buddies out there that were short tickets. It was, for the past 3 days, it's been like an $8,000-$9,000 ticket. That's just to get in the door. I found some really good seats. They were actually box seats in a suite. For a buddy of mine who, you know, they were probably 50 to 100 short on Wednesday or Thursday, and they ended up losing a ton of money. I mean, a ton of money. I mean, six figures minimum. But they filled all their orders. And that's the kind of broker you want to do business with. You don't want – and by the way, let me just say this. And, Roy, you know how many Super Bowls I've been to. I've been to 20.
Yep.
If you're paying under $2,000 a ticket retail for a Super Bowl ticket, you're a moron. Because we pay players, coaches, trainers, scouts, NFL office people. That's right, Mr. Commissioner, NFL office people, sponsors, media. We pay them all $2,500 to $3,500 for the worst ticket in the stadium wholesale. So what do you think you're going to pay for it in the real world? Not $1,800, not $1,600. Don't be stupid. If that game gets short and the price goes up, how else are the brokers going to get the tickets to fill your order with unless they pay that huge money? So be smart next time you go. I think a lot of that's probably Seattle brought a ton of people. I can tell you this right now, New England probably didn't have anybody, Roy, that was stupid enough to think that they were getting in for $1,800 because they've been to a few Super Bowls. You know what I mean?
So, that's what I was going to ask you is, so I heard that, I mean, and you'd know more about this than I would, but I from what I heard is that Seattle was all over when the tickets opened up and that the brokers had a hard time getting the initial push of tickets, and that's why the ticket spiked. Is that true?
No. They were just asking. They weren't asking enough money. It's a very simple thing. They did not ask enough money. Listen, there's not as many people buying if you're selling tickets for $3,500, $3,250, $3,000, $4,000. You see what I'm saying? There's a lot less buyers in the market. The buyers in the market that got ripped off are the thousands of buyers that were stupid enough to think they could get a ticket for $1,800. Now, a lot of those people actually did get a ticket for $1,800, but I'll say this, the brokers that didn't fill their orders, you know, they're in the business, they know what they're doing, but a lot of them don't, okay? I was in the business 30 years, I'm still kind of in the business, but if you, you're just not going to pay that. It's the math doesn't work. You know, when I first got in the business, Roy, I had one horrible Super Bowl, and I filled every order. I had about 200 people in Atlanta for the first time and pretty much only time. There was only 1 week between the championship games and the Super Bowl. And that was one of the reasons they never did that again, is it wasn't enough time for everybody to get all their work done. But I saw tickets, Roy, I swear to God, go from $550, $600 in Dallas on Tuesday to $1,500 on Thursday in Atlanta. And I sold packages to that game for $1,295. So every time I filled an order for somebody that bought a package for me and were staying in a hotel, I was basically paying them $200 or $300 to go to the Super Bowl and have a ticket and stay for 3 nights. And I got home. I was totally out of money. I picked up my little boy Davis, who's not so little anymore. I hugged him. I cried a little bit, and then I just went back to work the next day, getting ready for the next year. and I never made that mistake again. I always go to the Super Bowl with at least 5 or 10 extra seats. Because if you're long, you're strong. If you're short, you're in big trouble a lot of times. And that's what happened out there. So I won't talk about that anymore. Let's talk about Super Bowl. Roy, who you like, buddy?
Well, there's two ways I look.
Are you? Hey, you're not underwater, are you, Roy? Are you on?
No.
Okay, now I can hear you. You don't move that phone around. Yeah, for some reason I'm having a hard time hearing you. But go ahead.
So, I guess there's two ways I'm looking at this game, right? I mean, there's the team who's the complete team. You know, you have to say that the New England Patriots are probably the better complete team. They have a very underrated, very good defense. They have Tom Brady at the helm, who's been there a million times. And then they have one of the league's top passing games. And they showed in the AFC Championship game, deflated balls or not, that they have a running game as well that can win them a championship. So they're the more complete team, where Seattle is still, you know, somehow Seattle won a Super Bowl last year, got the one seed again this year, you know, made it to the Super Bowl again, and they're still kind of an unknown. They can beat you in so many different ways. They have one of the league's top defenses. They have one of the league's top running backs. We all know that. But they still have that X factor in Russell Wilson in their offense that not a lot of teams, if any, have really figured out. So it's going to be a great game, and that's why you've seen the line move so much. I think it opened up at -1 for Seattle. I think it moved to -2 for New England at one point. Now it's a pick.
On Vegas Insider, it's been stuck in Vegas at the different hotels at -1 most of the week. Supposedly it's at -1.5 in some of the casinos right now. New England, something like 68% of the money's on New England right now against the spread, which is fine because I who I picked at the beginning of the year, and I took a big chance. I picked Seattle. It didn't look like they were going anywhere early in the season. Remember, we were all talking about, God, I wish I hadn't picked Seattle. They look horrible. But I got to tell you, the reason they won last year is their defense dominated. A Denver team that seemed to be, the offense seemed to be overmatched. And I think that also the Denver coaching staff underestimated how many people from Seattle would make the trip to New York where it might snow or sleet, and they had Denver's fans outnumbered big time, and it was a mess from the start hearing the ball. You know, remember Peyton had a safety, I guess, first play because he couldn't even hear himself talk, and nobody heard. They just snapped the ball. It was a safety, and that was the start of it. We're talking to Roy Edwards, my co-host, that had another little boy recently, and I'm looking forward to doing some great things with Roy in the near future, hopefully. We got, just to let everybody know, this will be my last show this season on WFAS. We may get something worked out for next season, but as of right now, this will be my last show. I'm going to be getting ready to go to spring training. Roy, you need to run out there with me and go to spring training, but I know you need to babysit and change diapers too.
I'm actually going to spring training in Florida this year. I know you go to Arizona every year.
Yep.
So I'll be in Florida this year. So maybe we'll have both leagues covered, right? We'll have the Grapefruit.
How long are you going to be down there, you think?
I won't be down there very long. Maybe 4 or 5 days.
Well, that's plenty long, you know, to hit all the places. The only thing I hate about Florida is it's so far from some of the stadiums to the next stadium.
We're going to be in Vieira.
Vieira's nice. Didn't they just build a new state? They redid the ballpark or something.
We'll be down at. I always want to call it Space Ghost, but it's Space Coast, I believe. Space Coast Stadium. And of course, you know, we couldn't go to Vieira and not hit up Disney.
Not with those Disney kids. Yeah, you're going to be.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, that's the last pictures I have of me with brown hair was when I was at Disney.
That was my ticket.
I looked like I was 30 years old, and then now I look like Santa Claus. I'm Bruce Hall. I'm talking to Roy Edwards of SportsManCave.com. Roy, you've been getting to a lot of basketball games, especially in the Big East this year. I want to talk real briefly while I got you on the phone. We got a couple of minutes before we break, and I want you to stay on the next segment. We'll talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl. I'm only going to spend 10 seconds right now on Tiger Woods. He's done. All right, that's my 10 seconds. I, you know, I'll be at the Masters possibly this year for like I have been for 20 straight years, but I got to tell you, he looks like me right now, and that's not good. He could probably hit the ball a lot further than I can. I'm sure he's still a better putter, and he's probably still a plus one or something, but you know, you don't shoot. Matt's like having a spaz attack here. He's trying to hand me
my stuff.
I memorized this thing like a year ago, and he still gives it to me. Uh-huh. But, Roy, listen, he's done. But, Duke, how many threes did they hit in a row last night? Like six, seven?
Quite a bit, huh?
They were down seven with like 3 minutes left, and they won by six because they did not miss a three-point shot for the last 4 minutes of the game.
Well, when you have the 1,000-win man, you know, that anything can happen. And Mike Krzyzewski has proven that time and time again. I mean, the guy's won 1,000 games. Think about that. I mean, it's insane. I mean, the math doesn't add up. It's crazy to me. When he started coaching at West Point, and he was, he was a good coach. He was definitely not on 1,000-point pace. And then what he's done at Duke over the last however many years, I mean, it's insane.
No, it is. Hey, we'll talk about that. Hey, we'll talk about that when we get back. I gotta do this thing, even though they're technically not my sponsor right now, but I'm going to read it anyway just in case somebody from the NAR is listening.
For old time's sake.
Yeah, this for old time's sake. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I am a realtor, and I will always be a realtor, and I can't wait to start making some money in the real estate business one day when I retire. This is Bruce Hall. I'll be back in a minute with more Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, hashtag BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I'm back with Roy Edwards, my buddy Roy G., my co-host. And Roy, listen, let's talk. And I want to thank, if it wasn't for Roy last week, I wouldn't have had Brian O'Leary on, the author of Spygate, The Untold Story. Roy, we knocked it out of the park with that guy. He got all crazy, and evidently he sold all of his books. He was saying, well, I'm going to have to order some not hardbacks, but, you know, paperbacks, because I just don't have any books left. What was really good about that is I tweeted out, that I was going to have him on the show to all the guys like Jay Glazer, Chris Mortensen, all the, Andrea Kramer, the people that were all over that story that knew everything that happened, and then all of a sudden it was gone. You know, they find Belichick $500,000, they find Robert Kraft $250,000, they take the 32nd pick in the draft, their first round pick, and they did all of that before they ever saw the evidence. And then they destroyed the evidence. They had the Patriots destroy the evidence. Now let me tell you something. This isn't law, obviously. This isn't, this isn't something that I don't think is a criminal, would have been a criminal charge, but it's definitely a rule violation, right? If you're trying to find the truth behind something, do you destroy the evidence? Of course not. Of course not. I mean, and that's what Roger Goodell told the Patriots to do. And then, there's so much more after that. But that was a great show, and I want to thank you for giving me, because I was trying to get him through all of his numbers and his name and this and that, and I had a different number, but he had to create his own publishing company to publish enough books, right?
Yeah.
That's what
he had a little bit of a success, and one of the bigger teams in the NFL, just a whole bunch, apparently sell books.
Yeah, and you know what kills me about this Inflategate, and I will admit, that doesn't mean anything to me, but if they did it on purpose, it's a rule violation, and somebody's got to pay the price for that. Look, if you're gonna fine a guy $50,000 for saying, you know why I'm here, just because he's just uncomfortable talking to people, and who knows if that's just his shtick or what? There's plenty of guys that want a job in football. Being an announcer, being a commentator, being an analyst, they'll give you all the damn quotes you want. You know what I mean? If a guy like Marshawn Lynch would just rather go play video games and chill, let him go play video games and chill. You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. Why you gotta fine him $50,000? Well, I understand why they have to fine him $50,000, because they can't set a precedent not fining him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
At least if 20 people decide they don't want to talk to the press, they got $1 million, right? You can throw a hell of a party for $1 million. Hell, Robert Kraft can probably somehow get that money himself and pay for his next fine when they're doing something. The biggest problem with the Spygate deal, Roy, and let's talk about this because you really like this thing too, and you read the book, you liked the book. What wasn't so much the filming of the coaches, although that really helped them a lot. Matt Duffy of the Giants is going to kill me for doing that. But Matt Walsh, who's the kid that was the videotaper in 2000, 2001, 2002.
The term is videographer.
Videographer, I know, but I didn't want to say that. The guy that was doing the videotaping, that's the videographer. He basically said to everybody that interviewed him, hey, you know, I took this stuff to Ernie Adams. Ernie Adams knew what to do with it. Well, Ernie Adams is the guy that was written up this week, finally. And you know what? It's all the same pictures of him and Belichick. There's even a picture of him when they were both with the Giants, like in shorts that are like crotch shorts, you know, those little booty shorts that we used to wear when your dad used to wear, not you. You're not stupid enough. You didn't grow up in that.
Texas high school shorts.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. Cheerleader shorts. But the thing that what really was the most cheating part, and there's documentation and things have been said and nobody has ever denied it, but nobody ever goes after the story either, was like Doug Flutie. This is one of them. When Doug Flutie said, you know, he picked up one of Tom Brady's backup helmets during a game, and he was hearing somebody's voice in the helmet after the ball was snapped. And they're supposed to cut off. The NFL frequency cuts off with 15 seconds left. Now, to this day, Doug Flutie doesn't deny that. Because I don't think Doug Flutie – I think he's got too much character to tell a lie. Does that make sense to you? And I think Doug Flutie in a lot of ways thinks he's probably a better quarterback than Tom Brady, and he didn't get to cheat when he had to be a quarterback maybe. So, you know, I think there's that, but he's not going to come out and say anything. But that is a tremendous advantage. I mean, come on, you know. When you're hearing what the defense is right at the snap of the ball every play – that's a tremendous advantage. And if that actually happened, we'll never know if it happened because they stopped the investigation of it.
Yeah.
You know, Arlen Specter, who was a U.S. Senator, I'm not a big Arlen Specter fan. He's dead now anyway. But Arlen Specter, he's got came up with magic bullet theory in the Kennedy assassination, so you know he's full of crap. But he was upset about the Eagles losing to these guys in the Super Bowl in Jacksonville. And, you know, when he read about Spygate in 2007, and he got Matt Walsh to testify in front of Congress, it wasn't in a congressional session. It was in one of the meeting rooms. But there were people there, and he took down all of his words. And Walsh basically said, and I quote, hey, you know what? $750,000 really isn't a high price to pay for three Lombardi trophies. And how many times, Roy, have you heard me say that?
Yeah.
What do you think, man? I mean, don't you think that it's – I mean, that's the part of me that really wants Seattle to win this game.
Yeah, I mean, and people have kind of poo-pooed the whole deflate gate and, you know, the deflating of the balls. And apparently the Ravens – it happened in the Ravens game too, but there was no proof or something like that. To me, it doesn't really matter whether the Patriots would have won the game without deflating the balls or not. This is a, you know, a pattern of character here within the organization that, you know, they're cheaters. How can you keep a straight face in the NFL and you know, not kind of make this a big deal whether or not they would have beat Indianapolis or not? As they have a history of events of cheating. I mean, the Spygate went down. Whether it was, you know, as crazy as the book Spygate the Untold Story makes it out to seem, or if it's as you know, as innocent as the league punished, that something went down and they got punished for it, and the league admits that. So they cheated once. You know, there's no denying that.
I'm never going to give them the benefit of the doubt. Are you?
Exactly. And that's why you can't.
You know, listen, I tell kids that I coach my whole life, look, you know, there are people that have gone out at times and stolen food from grocery stores because they were starving. There's people that have gone out and taken stuff they needed because they were cold. I said, that's one kind of stealing. If you've got money and you don't need to steal, then you're very guilty and it's a bad thing to do. But lying is just as bad. You know, and I look at it as a character flaw. And I think it's a character flaw with Belichick, and I think it's a character flaw with his buddies. And think of all of the guys. I mean, look at their offensive coordinator right now. Look who it is. It's the guy that's come back from Denver where he was in the middle of Spygate 2 in Denver. Pat Bowlen got rid of those guys so fast. Remember? I mean, that was unbelievable. I remember his last game that he coached on the sidelines. And basically, he brought Dante Scarnecchia. I don't know if it was Dante or his son. I can't keep them straight. One is just retired as an offensive line coach in New England. The other is his son. He was a videographer, Matt, just like Matt Duffy. He took him with him. He took him with him to Denver and basically said in front of everybody, hey, look, I haven't looked at this tape. I didn't. You know, he threw Scarnecchia under the bus, and they fired him. And then they fired what's the guy's name? You know who I'm talking about? Offensive coordinator from New England right now, kid Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels. Yep. He's the same age as Tom Brady. Well, how does a guy that was a defensive backfield coach and played Division III football, right, become the best offensive coordinator in the NFL? Well, because he doesn't have to make any calls. You know, all he's got to do is listen and act like he's the offensive coordinator, and he's doing it again for them. And that, and there's no doubt in my mind. That's why I think it's such a joke when McDaniels is talked about interviewing for a head coaching job. Are you kidding me? Charlie Weiss, same kind of deal. He can't even win in college because, you know, because – and that is really – and, you know, I hate to say Romeo Crennel. Romeo Crennel is a decent defensive coordinator. I would say the defensive coaching – on the, you know, like Dean Pease, who's in Baltimore now. Dean Pease was in New England for a while. And I'd say the defensive guys are probably really coaches, and I would say the offensive guys are actors, like Ronald Reagan. Hey, listen, Roy, I had a great time with you over the past 2 or 3 years. I can't even remember how long it's been. Normally, it's
4 years.
Well, see, there, has it been 4 years we've been together?
It's been 4 years.
No wonder I'm so
old.
So
2 years until St. Louis wins the Super Bowl.
Hey, so well, you know what? Have you seen?
That's right.
Have you seen all of my buddy Bruce Bochy's World Series wins while I've been in the box with you? Have you?
Yes.
Well, we're gonna. I want you to listen at the end of the show. Bochy's coming on right at the end of the show, like at 11:30. And we're going to talk. I'm going to thank him. I got a few people coming on. Ricky Snyder's coming on. Chuck Todd's coming on at 11:05. He did a great interview with Leonard Marshall. Remember Leonard Marshall, big defensive lineman for it. That ought to be pretty good. But Roy, listen, appreciate everything. Loved having you all the time. It's like you're my little brother. Actually, it's more like you're my nephew because I'm a lot older than you are. but listen, you got a future in this business. I hope you stick with it, and hopefully we'll do a lot of business together here in the near future. Okay, buddy.
Yeah, buddy. Hey, it's been fun, man. It's been a blast.
Yeah, it has. So, what's that? Roy.
We'll get the game here soon.
Roy, tell them what how people get a hold of you and how they find you on the internet.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter. The brand is at Sports Man Cave. We got a whole bunch of writers, all USA Basketball Writers Association members. I'm an NSSA member as well, so we got a good group of guys over there covering NCAA athletics. And then if you want to follow me directly on Twitter, it's at Roy G. Edwards. So that's how you can get a hold of me.
All right, bud. Hey, tell your parents I said hey. Tell your beautiful wife I said hey. And tell those kids I said hey, okay?
Will do. Thanks, Chris.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. Roy Edwards, everybody. And we'll be back in a minute with more of my last show, Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
Welcome back to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. You can stay up to date all week by going to BruceHallSports.com or by going to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I've got Rick Snyder on the line. Rick, thanks for calling in, buddy. I had to have you on my last show of the season. You've been a great regular calling in. Ricky, you know, the Super Bowl, we're ready to play the game, aren't we? I mean, there's been just so much stuff going back and forth over the last couple of weeks, you know, about Deflategate and all of that. How are you seeing this game lining up?
I like New England, and partly I kind of came into the two-week period thinking Seattle. The Deflategate thing, which was as stupid a story as I've seen in many years, I know had some effect on the Patriots, and you don't poke the bear. And I think the Patriots are playing a little better. I mean, they had a great AFC Championship game. I don't think this controversy at all bothers them in a negative way. I think it was a positive for them. Seattle was really under the radar for 2 weeks. You know, as a defending champion, you know, the only thing people talked about was Marshawn not talking, which was another stupid story. But we really have been setting records for those lately. and I just think the Patriots are a little more primed to win this game. Two great teams, you know, could go either way. But if everybody wants to see Brady with the ball with 2 minutes to go needing to score, then let's see what happens.
Yeah, I'm not going to beat up any of the stories because last week we had Brian O'Leary, who wrote Spygate, The Untold Story, on. So everybody that listens to my show got a history lesson of the entire, pretty much, Belichick's career from start to finish, even, you know, when he was hanging out with his dad at the Naval Academy. But what a lot of people didn't understand that have never written the book is when Matt Duffy got busted for taking, you know, pictures of the coaches on the sidelines. That was in 2000. 2001 and 2002. That was a long time ago. That was before they won those three Super Bowls. And everything happened so fast and got swept under so fast. And some of the bigwigs that were involved in that, you know, Jake Glazer, Chris Mortensen, Andrea Kramer. I could keep going on and on and on. I think Armin could tell you, I can't even pronounce it. You know, Armin, what's his name? Armin K. He called me a name about a week ago. That's when I knew I was getting close to him. I just asked him why he let the story die when he did such a good job of interviewing Belichick on TV. He was on, you know, one of the network stations interviewing him on something. But I'm going to talk about this game big time. I've got some. Have you taken a look at all of the different kind of gag bets you can make on this game?
Yeah. Yeah, I had people asking me this morning.
Did you really? You've had time to think about this. I won't bore you with it again. I will say one that I'm sure is a lock. How many times will Gisele Bündchen be shown during TV on the game? The over-under is 1.5. I'm taking the over because I'd want to look at her 15.5. I mean, I don't see.
Oh, yeah. It's funny. On my Twitter feed this morning, I call that the lock of the day.
It is the lock of the day. It's a joke. I got to find somebody that will take it from me. I'll probably have to call a buddy of mine in Vegas, tell him to run down to MGM and do it. I'm talking to Rick Snyder, who is with Washington Post Express and one of the truly great guys in the business, Rick. And, you know, there's been a lot of stuff going on. Your old buddy, Robert Griffin III, our old buddy, Robert Griffin III, can't stay out of the headlines, even at the Super Bowl. They had a Heisman Trophy Award winners kind of banquet or party or something and get together. And who was it? Tim Brown that said, the guy's a little weird. You know, at first, you know, we just don't know what to say to him, so we talk around him. What did you think about that? Tim Brown just got voted into the Hall of Fame.
Well, I hadn't heard that quote. I think it's an interesting one. And Robert's definitely an interesting guy, but I think I've looked at him very hard for 3 years now that he's been here. I at first thought he was going to be one of the true greats because he has the ability, he has the smarts. You know, they're just seeing the whole package coming in. And the injuries, I think, have taken something away from him, but including the key part, which is his confidence and his willingness to listen to people. And that takes down a lot of players when they think they're so good. Everybody's loved them all their life. And somebody who was in the Hall of Fame told me that first year with Robert,
let's see what happens when things go bad. And he was worried Robert couldn't take it, and I agree with that now. Robert has not taken it very well at all. He's always got an excuse, and it's always something else. And he doesn't, you know, really take the criticism correctly. And if he doesn't learn to do that, I'm telling you, he's out of the league in 3 years. You know, he's already half a step away from being called a coach killer. And when that happens and you have to bounce around the league, people don't want you.
Because
they've lost their jobs.
Absolutely. You know, they just picked up Matt Cavanaugh, the Redskins. And Matt Cavanaugh's got at least one Super Bowl ring I'm aware of, because when the Ravens had that killer defense when they went down to Tampa and destroyed the New York Giants, Cavanaugh was the old coaches. Did we drop you? Yeah. Okay, we'll get him back. We did. That was really a cool sound though that the machine made when he left. We'll be back in a second. But what I was talking about was Matt Cavanaugh. He's the new quarterback coach for the Washington Redskins. And with Jay Gruden, who's a quarterback quote unquote guru anyway, and to be honest with you, he's probably just an elevated good quarterback coach. Ricky, I got you back on. I haven't lost a beat here. I'm learning how to do this on my last show. But Matt Cavanaugh, when he was with the Baltimore Ravens, did a really good job with Trent Dilfer. Pretty much, I mean, and he was also, I can't remember all the teams Cavanaugh's been with. I think the Jets, he was with them for a few years. He might have even been with New England once he stopped playing quarterback for him. But he is the new guy in town for Robert Griffin. What do you see happening there? Do you know anything about him at all?
Well, I mean, I've seen Cavanaugh ever since he played. I thought he was a nice player, you know, especially at the Patriots. Did a great job with Dilfer in that Super Bowl, because Dilfer was a very lackluster, mediocre quarterback who had a great game in that Super Bowl. You know, he deserved that win. It wasn't the defense that won, it was him. You know, so he's done a good job on the places. You know, let's hope that Robert listens to him, because, you know, after a while, if you don't start listening, you're not going to, you know, do it. And I think this is his last year with the Redskins if he doesn't have a good season. You know, they have to do his option in May. I don't think they will exercise it because it's for $16 million. You know, his history of injuries and mediocre play, why would you invest $16 million in next year? So, I mean, there's a chance he won't even be here this year, but I kind of doubt that. I think he'll be back. He'll be probably the starter. I think if anyone, they trade Kirk Cousins. Probably don't get much for him, but they want to kind of go all in on this. And then, hey, if it doesn't work next year, they'll draft a quarterback. But Robert, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like Robert. It kind of surprises me because I thought he was a pretty decent guy. I don't know. It's just sometimes if you can't produce in this league, people turn on you quickly.
No, I totally understand what you're saying. We're talking to Rick Snyder, Washington Post Express. Ricky, how do people get a hold of you on Twitter? Because you're real good on Twitter, if anybody needs it.
Yeah, it's at Snide, S-N-I-D-E, underscore remarks.
You know, Matthew.
No,
I got you. Listen, a couple of different things. We've seen a lot of stuff in the NFL with coaches as of late. I mean, there's still a few positions in the league that have not been filled as far as coordinators go. I don't recall ever seeing this much movement at this time of the year before. Do you?
Yeah, it's a little unusual because usually head coaches come in and picked within a week or so. And they're holding out for Dan Quinn because of the Super Bowl. And, you know, that's kind of held things out a little longer. Once dominoes really go, they go quick. You know, I thought Atlanta hasn't had their head coach filled yet, but yet they picked up Raheem Morris, who I thought did a bad job in D.C. And they wanted him, you know. People in D.C. were like, oh, good.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either, to be honest with you.
Oh, man, don't go.
Yeah, and they took young Shanahan out there too, I think. And I think he has some chance to be something. Kyle Shanahan could still be a decent coordinator. I thought it was interesting how Mike Shanahan's name kept being bopped around. And even at one point, the defensive coordinator job somewhere. And I thought, wow, I can't see Mike.
Yeah, San Francisco is where they had him going. But
I didn't see that. But
he's an offensive guy. I couldn't see him doing it. You know what I think it was? I think Mike just didn't see anything he was even interested in. And I think a lot of people soured on Mike because when he left Washington, it wasn't pretty. You know, hey, Rick, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I had to have you on this last show of the season. Thank you so much, and give me the final score and who's going to win. I know you like New England. What's the score going to be?
I'm going to take it 28-23. I see the lines every which way, 1 point, but 1 point line don't matter. So go with the Patriots and go with the over.
You like the over. Good for you. Well, you know what? It's a lot more exciting when it goes over. I think you're absolutely correct. I think it's down to 47.5 and almost 47 in places, too, so you're in good shape. Ricky, thanks so much, buddy. I appreciate it.
All right. See you.
For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'll be back in a minute with more of Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294. Or by emailing us at brucehallsports@gmail.com. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Yesterday, you know, if you saw the NFL, the NFL Awards show last night on NBC, it was really, really good. The only part that wasn't good was listening to Roger Goodell talk. And, of course, that wasn't on the show. I saw that right before the show because I had taped it. He got on and talked about, you know, the league and stuff that was happening and blah, 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 blah. And he, you know, while he was calling on people at the end of his little spiel, there were four or five, people, and a couple of them were kids. And I think that's sweet and everything, but a lot of people wanted their questions answered. Nobody got anything answered. I mean, Roger Goodell, probably if he, you know, if he had a little bit better knowledge of his vocabulary, of the English vocabulary, he could work for the White House, no question, because he didn't answer anything. He just ran his mouth, and I'm just kind of tired of it. I don't think anything's going to happen with this guy anytime soon, no matter. The biggest laugh they got last night, it was Seth Meyers did the awards, and it was some great stuff.
I'm sure that must have been a laugh riot.
it was phenomenal. He's really good, and
I hate him.
Yeah, well, you can hate him all you want. You hate Republicans too, and that all that does is mess you up with 50% of the population.
Yeah, 49.
No, whatever. But the point is that you know, they talked about, well, Roger Goodell, you know, had a pretty rough year this year. To be honest with you, you know, kind of, you know, the punchline basically was, it's amazing, you know, you're still here. So that says a lot for you. And that got the biggest laugh by far, almost got a standing ovation. There was a guy from the Carolina Panthers that won Man of the Year, Thomas Davis, linebacker, tough kid, really good. You know, I don't cry very often, but I almost did because of the way he was, his upbringing in Georgia and what he does for the young kids in his community, is amazing. And he deserved it. And all of the guys that were finalists, for the, one of the finalists was, Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers does a lot of the same stuff. He just does it up in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. But this guy,
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, that's correct. But it was all interesting stuff. Listen, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, our good buddy Clark Judge, you go to talkoffamenetwork.com, and you can read all you want to read about how the vote went, what Clark's ideas were, what he thought happened. I'm sitting here looking at the guys that they put in.
The names are phenomenal that didn't get in this year.
This is,
it's a good class. I think they picked the right people. But to see Marvin Harrison, Terrell Davis, Orlando Pace, Kurt Warner, and John Lynch didn't make it this year.
The only one that probably may have deserved to be there, in retrospect, was Pace. They said Pace was the guy.
Well, you look
for
at
the
how
Rams.
Many,
yeah, but you
how many records Marvin Harrison has?
Yeah, but Marvin Harrison's has got. They were only going to put one wide receiver in, and it was Tim Brown. And really, the argument for Harrison not getting in was he had Manning thrown to him the whole time. So his so his stuff was – Tim Brown had like 10 different quarterbacks thrown to him. Mm. I mean, Tim Brown was – you know, he was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was a great blocker. He was a big physical guy. Marvin Harrison ran routes and caught passes from – I mean – hey, T.Y. Hilton might end up catching 1,000 passes if Peyton Manning was thrown to him all the time, you know, or Andrew Luck even for that matter. I think a lot of the people Andrew Luck throws to will have inflated stats too.
Well, the look at the coaches also. Tony Dungy and Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson not being in there, that is
longevity. It's a longevity issue with Jimmy. Jimmy only coached the Cowboys, I want to say, for 5 or 6 years, and then he was with Miami for like 2 or 3 years. And really, that's not a lot, but Chuck Knoll got in. Chuck Knoll's been in, but he's in. Just, they also put two of the best general managers. They put Bill Polian in, who orchestrated the Buffalo Bills, and he orchestrated the Indianapolis Colts in their championship years, and the Green Bay Packers.
You just look at these numbers, and you realize that the Hall of Fame inductions for the next 3 years are set. And these names will not be left off. Like one of the notable names, one of the hogs that kept getting left off.
Oh, Joe Jacoby didn't make the finals. Yeah.
You're not going to get any of those situations with these names.
No, but listen to me. Everybody on that committee knows Jacoby needs to make the Hall of Fame. He's going to make it as a vet on the Veterans Committee. He's not going to make it in his first 10 years because he can't now. I think this was his last year, but he is going to make it sooner or later. Listen, Mick Tinglehoff, when I was a kid, you know, growing up, Mick Tinglehoff was the center in the NFL that made the All-Pro team for the Minnesota Vikings every single year. And what I thought was real interesting last night is poor Mick could hardly even walk up there, but he did a great job. He looked super, and he's still a big guy. I mean, Tinglehoff was a center, but at the time he was built like a tackle. And he's in. You also had Jerome Bettis. You know, a lot of people didn't think Bettis deserved to be in because he's a lifetime 3.9 yard per carry guy, but he carried the football like nobody else. He was real similar.
All you have to do is say, count the rings. Count the rings and you're in.
And Earl Campbell. Well, that's the way it works too. And plus, he's a Steeler. Hello? I mean, you know, Steelers get in. Rooney's guys get in. I mean, look at all the Steeler Hall of Famers. How did Lynn Swann get in? I think he's got 369. Look up Lynn Swann's lifetime catches. It's nowhere near anybody else. I mean, it's a lot less, but he had 4 Super Bowl rings, and he had great Super Bowls. He's like Pablo Sandoval, you know, with the Giants. Now, we're going to be talking to Bruce Bochy at about 11:30, hopefully. Boach had to go to a dinner late last night. He's going to try to get up at 8:30 his time and call in on my last show of the year. And hopefully we'll have him.
336 catches, 5,462 yards.
Read me off the – have you got the other guys on there from the Hall of Fame too?
No, not yet.
Well, Charles Haley made it. Charles Haley was a San Francisco 49er.
During the Montana years.
Yeah, three or four, five-time Pro Bowler, and then he got traded or he signed as a free agent with the Dallas Cowboys, and then that's when they won two or three. He was there with Jimmy Johnson.
That has to be.
He's got six rings. I want to say he's got 6 rings.
I wish we did have Clark Judge on now because, he was in that room, and they were all just like,
he's probably,
look at these names.
Clark could still be asleep.
Let's get rid of all the stats. Let's just count rings, throw them in, and then we'll just keep going.
You were talking about Kurt Warner. Nobody likes Kurt Warner more than me. The guy started out in the Arena Football League. You know, he made a name for himself in the Arena Football League. He made the St. Louis Rams as a backup to the guy from Washington, from the Washington Redskins, that went out there and started, and he tore his knee up, and they had to put Warner in.
From the Redskins?
He's from University of Indiana. Look it up. It's real easy to find. But my point is, that's the way Bruce Hall's mind works here.
The same here.
I'm trying to think what his name is, because if I said his name, he's on TV now, too. He's an analyst. Went to the University of Indiana, played with the Redskins like in the 90s, and then he ended up as the starter. He went to Kansas City first, and then he ended up with the Rams.
Just keep going.
You'll find it. But not Ty Detmer, although he won a Heisman Trophy at BYU. Yeah. But anyway, my point is Warner holds the 1, 2, and 3 most yards passed for in a Super Bowl game. The 3 Super Bowl games he played in, he's number 1, number 2, and number 3. Eventually,
not Tony Banks.
Not Tony Banks. Jeez. No, don't worry about it.
You have me really messed
up
here.
I'll think about it probably in the middle of some other rant I've got.
Trent Green. That's who you're
thinking
about.
There you go, Trent Green. Trent Green ends up with the Rams, and that was when Vermeil cried on TV because Green went down in the first game of the season. No, you know what? It wasn't even the first game. It was in a preseason game. He goes down for the year with an ACL. We're going to really miss him. All you got is Kurt Warner made Trent Green look like the backup. Kurt Warner is a man. And I'll tell you another thing Kurt Warner is. He's honest because he thinks – I mean, he's not convinced that the Patriots aren't cheating too. And when a guy like that is convinced, it makes me feel a lot better because I don't want to think I'm on the wrong side of that. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. This is my last show of the year. Super Bowl is today. You won't hear from me anytime soon. You can always go to BruceHallSports.com, leave me a message. You can follow me on Twitter. You're stupid if you don't. No offense, but follow me at...
What offense?
Yeah, offense, at Bruce Hall Sports. If it has anything to do with baseball or football, I'm all over it. If you want basketball scores, go to SportsmanCave.com. Yeah, that's Roy Edwards. He's the basketball guy. I'm the baseball football guy.
And if you want funny pictures of cats and my dog.
If you want conspiracy theories, I'm the guy. I'm the guy. You know, people always talk about, oh, man, do you believe that Lee Harvey Oswald didn't kill Kennedy? Well, of course I don't. He didn't have anything to do with the shooting. And people look at me like I have two heads because they're not smart enough to read.
If you're looking for odd Super Bowl bets for our last show.
Let's do that. If we got time.
No, we don't. I was saying, I was just making the connection that if you were betting on the last show for Bruce Hall, whether whether he would mention the JFK assassination.
Did I say? Oh, I did.
You just won $20.
You just hit. We should have done that. We should have had odds about that. I got a minute till
we got
break.
Spygate.
Yeah. Oh, Spygate's a done deal. I mean, that. And by the way, you got to go to Spygate, The Untold Story, written by Brian O'Leary. Had him on the show last week. If you hate the New England Patriots, you should have at least 2 or 3 copies of Spygate, The Untold Story. I have literally read it in the past 2 weeks. I've read the entire book and highlighted every page with the best stuff, like twice.
So the last bet that you could make on this show is whether you mentioned that you played soccer in college.
No, I didn't play soccer in college.
Did you play Division I soccer?
No, I didn't play Division I soccer. I wrestled and played baseball in college, doofus. Whenever
we mention soccer, you always say something about how
I was an honorable mention All-American and All-Metropolitan soccer player, Wakefield High School. Thank you very much. 1969.
Right, some people just won $20.
Yeah, well, I wish I could win $20. If I had $20, I'd be rolling. We'll be back in a minute after the break with who do I have on it? I got Chuck Todd from Meet the Press on. We'll be back in a minute.
Bruce Hall's Second Opinion.
You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it.
Brought to you by the National Association of Realtors.
Swung on and hit in the air to deep right center. It is high. It is far. It is gone.
Bruce Hall gives you all the latest sports news from a handicapper's perspective.
What the hell's going on out here?
Join the conversation by calling in at 240-317-7294. Now, here's your host.
They are who we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back, and I'm on the line with Chuck Todd from NBC's Meet the Press, my favorite political guy in the world. Chuck, how you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Happy Super Bowl.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm almost glad. You know, I went to 20 straight Super Bowls, and I made a lot of money. I lost a lot of money. And in the long run, it's probably more of a headache than anything else. But this week, we saw the highest ticket in the history of Super Bowls. It was $8,000 to $9,000 just to get in.
I have to say, I am pretty stunned about that, only because I just didn't feel like Seattle had the and the fan base. If you told me a Packers-Patriots Super Bowl would be that, or Packers-Steelers, you know, somebody with the national fan bases, that's why I was mildly surprised.
But have you ever
something else?
Yeah, have you ever been to an ACC basketball tournament back in the day? When
I have.
It's Carolina fans and everybody that hates Carolina. There's a lot more of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of that way, I think, here. I think it's the Pats fans. They have a big fan base, don't get me wrong. Huge fan base, and they come late. Trust me. There's still people arriving in private planes and in coach right now, today, from New England, because they've been to so many, they don't want to go there all week and waste their time. That's just the way they
true.
Are.
That's true.
But listen, the Packers, I thought they were in, Chuck. I thought they were in.
Yeah, you and me both. That was, you know, it was an epic debacle, and you have to say, we all fans complain about coaches, right? That's just what you do.
Right.
I have to say, though, I've never seen a game where it was 100% a coaching issue. 100. There is no other explanation other than the decision-making that went into the game day, during the game by McCarthy. There are five different decisions he had to make that had to go wrong, and they all went wrong.
Never understood why they didn't go for it, especially the second time.
I didn't
get that.
That's what I mean. It goes early. Right? Yeah. You go early on that you see that. I mean, you cannot, I always say the kid that doesn't deserve to get beaten up is the kid that didn't get the onside kick. It shouldn't have been that situation.
Yeah.
Right? It shouldn't have been there. Or the decision to Aaron Rodgers to throw the ball 8 times in the second half before the last drive. 8 times. He's the MVP. You don't trust him to throw the ball? Come on.
Yeah, I didn't understand a lot of that. McCarthy, you know what I think he thought? I think he thought that he just had the better, more physical team, and he did. And he had Seattle on the ropes, but you can't let Russell Wilson stay in a game that long.
No, you can't let any championship team do that.
Right.
That's just not in the NFL. You can't do it. You watch. If Belichick somehow has the same luck, and don't forget, he'll look. I mean, what did the Packers do? Show what is the one weakness? It's these little 8, 10 to 15 yard passes up the middle. They made the tight ends. You know, the Packers exploited the middle of the field against Seattle in a way that other teams hadn't done. Well, that's right up. If Belichick is in the same position, he's not up 16-0. He would have been up 28-0.
Right. I couldn't agree more. And it was sad to not see him in there because I thought Rodgers, I thought he deserved to go. I didn't think
he deserved it.
He deserved it.
I agree.
You know what? I've got Seattle winning today. They were my big. You know, I got them at 7-1 at the start of the season. I've also got no matter who wins, I win a future in Vegas because I have New England 7-2. So I'm going to win. I'm just kind of hoping it's not New England. Listen, can we?
No, you want the 7-1. I'm with you there. And I tell you, this is one of those Super Bowls where I feel like I don't think it's going to be. I don't get the spread here. I don't understand it. Seattle to me should be favored by at least 4, if not more. You look at the history. When the best defense makes it to the Super Bowl, aren't they undefeated?
Yeah, and I got to tell you something. You know the Ben Franklin clothes when you write everything down on two sheets of paper and you just compare them. That's what I did today, and Seattle's got the better players. They've got the faster players. They have the better overall players. The only problem is that East Coast bias kind of with New England.
That's why you're getting – but this happened Ravens-Giants Super Bowl, first Super Bowl.
Oh, right, that's right.
Won a huge amount of money. That was a New York – you had the New York media market bias there. The Ravens should have been heavy favorites. They weren't. Because of the Giants. And, you know, there was a ton of money to be made. Same thing happened with the Raiders and Buccaneers Super Bowl, where you had a Raiders bias for no reason.
I'll tell you the biggest, and this goes back to, you didn't get a chance to hear my show, and if you ever do, it's logged on my website, brucehallsports.com. But I had Brian O'Leary from Spygate, The Untold Story, the guy that wrote the book last year. And the big thing about one of the biggest upsets in the history was the New Orleans one, where they were worried about a nuclear bomb and all that stuff in 2002 after 9/11. I was there. It was the greatest show on turf versus the Pats. The Pats were +13.5. That was the easiest money I ever made in my life. If I'd have known that they had taped their walkthrough the day before, I would have... Well, let's just say I would have done better. Hey, can we talk about – so you're going to take Seattle today?
Seattle, and I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna find more ways. I want more odds giving. I'd give points. I'm gonna look for ways to, you know, you get those opportunities to give 7 to 12. I'm gonna do everything. I'm just gonna go bet a blowout. I think that there's some good money to be made on a blowout. No, because
I agree.
You know, I think there's. I just think the odds. It's worth the odds.
And it'll go over. It's only 40. It's down to 47 now. Anyway, if you take a three-point teaser, you go down to 37. You could play both sides of that. You could play over 37, under 57, and Seattle. And that's not actually.
Let me guess. You're New England in the over, Seattle in the under. That's your set.
No. I like Seattle. Period. I'm going to take straight up the under. I released it already because I think it's going to be a really hard hitting defensive game early, and I think what's going to happen is in the second half, I think Seattle's going to do better. I just don't see New England in this game. I don't. I don't see Gronk dominating. I just don't see him dominating against Seattle.
Well, and there was a great analysis on Grantland about all of New England's losses. And all of them, every loss they had this year had one thing in common against a team that had a strong, powerful running game. Jamal Charles, Lee Lacy of the Packers, Charles of the Kansas City. Well, I mean, it just plays right into Seattle. I mean, Marshawn Lynch, if he's got 150, he should have 150 yards today, and that should be enough.
You know, if you look at Seattle, I mean, what's really great about this game, in my opinion, is the fact that I don't see any way that Seattle does not get 150 yards rushing today because they're going to start running. I don't know if I'd start running. I think I might start by passing the football to loosen up the New England defense a little bit, then run the ball.
Right.
Then run the ball.
Yeah,
they've got to keep it. Hey, listen, I agree with you. I think Seattle's going to win this game. You know what's funny about Super Bowls? It's so anticlimactic once you get to the game. But if you're
so
not,
true.
But when you get to the game, it's so much fun to watch whether you're there or you're not there. Listen, one other thing too. We got about 5 minutes left. I want to talk to you about your interview with Leonard Marshall. That was phenomenal. I saw it. I want to say it was on your. I picked it up on your.
I posted the whole thing on the website. I posted the whole thing last night. I taped it earlier this week.
It was.
And I did post the whole thing.
It was great. What did you take away from that? What do you think is going to happen with this concussion thing? Because you know how I feel about it.
Yeah, look, I'm actually pretty optimistic about it. You know, it's funny about the NFL, and I think they have myopic leadership. I think they're very insular. All those things are true, but it is something. You know, eventually they get it right,
yeah.
And they're throwing. And you know, part of this is, you know, I'm going to suck up to my old boss Jeff Immelt over at GE. He's a huge football fan, and he's throwing a bunch of money at the NFL's way, going, "Hey, I'll give you guys a bunch of money if you let us lead the research on the you know, safer helmets and the brain stuff." So I think the NFL, it took them a while, but they're getting there. I do wish they would take more of a leadership role on youth football. I think that they need to realize that they're the influence anyway. So take full control over it, take full ownership of it, put in an age restriction. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with waiting for contact until, say, 12 or 13 or 14 years old. Do that. Be for it. Own it. I think sometimes the NFL goes, look at what we're doing. No. What are you doing all the way down the line here? But like I said, I think, and even Marshall, you know, people think that these ex-players, they want money. No, Marshall, he seems to be more about, look, he wants the game safer. He loves the game still, you know, and that's what it should, you know. He wasn't trying to kill the game. You know, some people think the concussion conversation is about killing the game. No, it's not. It's about improving the game. And I tell you, you know, these ex-NFL players, you've been around them, they're all in bad health.
No, I know.
A lot of them are in bad health. A lot of it's physical, but some of it's mental. The whole NFL needs to own this. Go ahead. You know, just own it, and the public will accept it.
Yeah. Imagine what those helmets were like before they got air in them. You know, when they could pump them up with air and stuff.
I'm sitting here going, you know, I love Pop Warner's telling me, can I just say, I remember the first helmet I got handed out the first day at Pop Warner. It was like in the back of some sort of rusted shed.
Oh, sure it was.
Okay?
Sure it was.
Yeah, and there's no chance that I was, you know. Now, I also was taught the correct way, you know. It's like, you know, if you don't see what you're tackling, you're not tackling correctly.
No, absolutely.
Right?
But you know how I feel about it, Chuck. I feel like that this game will be played one day without a real helmet. I think it'll be played without helmets because, Chuck, when you and I used to play football on Saturday and Sunday, 11 on 11, 9 on 9, 8 on 8, I don't remember anybody going to the hospital. I remember maybe one or two broken bones over an eight-year period, but we hit and we tackled. But you know what? We were like rugby players. We used our arms and shoulders. We used our legs.
How do you say that? You know, so Leonard, the final thing Leonard Marshall left me with in the interview is, got to figure out how to take the helmet out of the game. And that's, you know, some people think, like you said, literally, it could be you take the face mask out of the game. And that in itself, where you still have the head protection, but the, boy, you want to change the way people tackle?
Yeah.
Take the face mask out of the game and watch what happens.
That would really be taking a chance because you know what would happen is just even a little slip, you're going to cut somebody really bad. No, I'm just saying, you know when the people that speed skate, have you ever seen those little head things they wear?
Yeah.
Or luge runners, you know, that do the luge? That is to protect them in that luge. Well, that does something. I would just put one of those on and think about the women would love the sport. They'd get to see what the guy looks like.
Well, that's right. That's right. And you have to, look, there's truth to that. Look, they're going to change. It's going to change. I guess, like I said, the good news is the NFL, after, you know, they don't like all the media coverage, but guess what? All of us beating them up on it. Now they're eventually getting it right. Look, even on domestic violence awareness, they've been terrible about it, and now they're throwing money at the problem because they know they have an image problem. But guess what? They're actually finally doing some good. You know, so, you know, they really are. They're sort of like the way Winston Churchill used to describe America. You know, when all options are exhausted, the NFL eventually gets it right, you know. And I think they're going to get it right, but apparently we had to exhaust all other options before they did it.
Is your interview with Leonard on right now? Is it on today?
It's on today, and then the full, I put the unedited version online and on my Facebook page so people can check that out.
All right, well, listen, I highly recommend everybody watch that interview. What I really liked about Leonard, and I remember Leonard, I mean, Leonard knocked Joe Montana out of a playoff game, and he was out for a year. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it was his last. It turned out Leonard Marshall was the last person to tackle Joe Montana as a San Francisco 49er.
Yeah, that was it. Because and at the start of the next season, I remember, you know how the injury reports all say Joe Montana neck or ankle. It said body, BODY in parentheses. I mean, he hit him so hard. It was kind of like the guy from Philadelphia Eagles that hit Frank Gifford and almost killed him.
Oh, right, Chuck Bednarik.
Yeah,
which,
exact
by the way,
same type tackle.
I show that. It's funny you bring that one up. I used that clip today on the show, of the infamous Bednarik standing over a knocked out Gifford.
You know, that guy was one hell of a player. Chuck, I can't thank you enough for coming on
and
being on my last show. And listen,
it's the intermission is what we'll call it, right?
Well, it definitely is. But we're going to get together soon. I owe you lunch, buddy. I'll come down on the hill one day when you're down there, okay?
You got it, Bruce. Take it easy, buddy.
We'll see you. Chuck Todd, everybody. NBC's Meet the Press. Big sports guy. Fun guy. I mean, I tell you, I don't envy the guy because he's got to somehow stay in the middle of everything. We'll be back in a minute. Let me read this just for old time's sake. For the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, I'm a realtor. Members of the National Association of Realtors are here to represent you and protect home ownership. And if you don't think that's important, lose your home sometime and you'll find out. We'll be back in a minute.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
I love that guy. A lot of people don't like him because, you know, some people think he's too conservative. Some people think he's too liberal. He's right in the middle. And what I like about him is he has a passion for sports. Almost like I have a passion for politics. It's like sports guys like politics, political guys like sports. So I get him on my show and we do a little bit of both. But his interview with Leonard Marshall was phenomenal. And Leonard Marshall is really a sharp guy, an entrepreneur. He's made a lot of money, but he suffers from lapse of memory and stuff like that. He's starting to do it. Didn't happen right when he quit. It happened like 10 years later, and it's starting to get worse and worse, and he can kind of tell. And if you listen to me on my show, you can tell I've bounced my head off of a few things in my lifetime. I can always describe a guy. I can tell you his number. I can tell you who he played for. A lot of times I can't tell you who it is. But I am 61 years old, although I fight like a 12-year-old.
And a good
22-year-old.
A good side reference for that interview is Darnell Dockett's.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell people how they could. How do
I think they
it's
on SI.com. Just, you know, search,
yeah, go to Sports Illustrated. Absolutely.
He makes a really good point about how, you know, Deflategate and a lot of these other stories really kind of blind you from one of the biggest problems in the NFL, and it is the ex-players that are just, you know, basically wounded warriors.
No,
and,
absolutely. Well, I mean, look, when you hit something with your head enough times and you shake that gray matter up, you know, it's actually injured and it has to heal. And a lot of times, if you do it often enough, like every day, 5 days a week, 6 days a week, for what? 5 months, 4 months, it creates a situation where it's never going to really get back where it was.
And I think a lot of it is, we talk about head injuries a lot, but one of the things that people don't really talk about are joint injuries. Like, my grandfather played in the 50s, and he has both knees replaced, full replacements. He has, you know, completely just plastic in his knees,
right,
now.
Right.
Because when he was, after he got out, his walking, because he injured his legs so much, he was a lineman, that it looked like an O when he walked.
Yeah.
And he was talking about how when, you know, you see players that have shoulder injuries and all this, you know, and they say, oh, he's back to 100%. He makes the point that you're never 100% when you come back from an injury like that.
I agree.
I hurt my shoulder just a few months ago, and I still feel it just from a little bit of a fall. And you think, you know, if I were playing football on this,
you would just be taking painkillers like all of them did. You know,
exactly.
There's been so many painkiller investigations in the last year. They're starting to find, I mean, there's going to be some people going to court. There's going to be lawsuits. Like they say, there will be lawyers. That's always
Be lawyers.
That's always a bad sign. Listen, let's go to these really wild bets right now. I'm going to go through them right now. I'm going to tell you which sides I like. It says, how long will it take Idina Menzel to sing the U.S. National Anthem? I'm going for the over. It's under 2 minutes and 1 second. I say it's at least 3 or 4 seconds longer. Take the over in that. Will she forget or omit at least one word of the official U.S. National Anthem? The no is minus 600. I'm taking the no.
I'm going to take the yes on that one, because she's a relative
newcomer. I thought that too, but this girl that was talking about it earlier, she's from Canada, doesn't even really know it that well, and she didn't even make a mistake in five times. So, and this woman is from the United States of America, and she sings it all the time. I'm going to say no. New England at Seattle. How many times will deflated balls be referred to during the game? The over-under is 2.5. That's a lock. It's over. Will Marshawn Lynch be fined by the NFL for any incident on media day? Yes is plus 400. No is minus 600. So they're saying he's not going to be fined. Somebody has inside information. I'm going to say yes. That's the one I'm taking a shot at. They'll find something he did.
It'll be the hat. Hat is already.
Will Marshawn grab his crotch after scoring a TD in the game? Yes is plus 400. No is minus 600. I'm going to say he scores the winning touchdown with no time left and grabs his crotch and doesn't let go of it.
By the way,
I'm going to say plus 400.
We talked about it off the air, but Marshawn Lynch on Conan O'Brien with Gronkowski, the funniest thing to come out of the Super Bowl. It has to be.
Gronk had a blast.
Hilarious.
Gronk was having so much fun with Marshawn. Marshawn was like, you know, Conan wasn't doing anything, just sitting there, couldn't believe what he was seeing and hearing. He should do play-by-play for video games. That's what he needs to be doing.
There should be a bet on here whether Gronkowski and Marshawn Lynch shake hands after the game, because it seemed like they got along pretty well on that.
Listen, this is a special one. It's New England at Seattle. Which coach will be mentioned first by name on TV after the kickoff? I'm going to say Pete Carroll. And the reason I'm saying Pete Carroll at minus 110 is it's the best odds. But I got a feeling that something good will happen. on the kickoff return for Seattle, and Pete Carroll will be, he's more likely to be seen by the cameras going crazy and smiling and hugging
people. It's mentioned, and it has to be Belichick. Belichick is
no way.
The coach that everybody loves to hate.
Here, let's not pick the same one here. Which color will his hoodie be, Belichick's?
Gray,
blue, or red?
It'll be gray.
I'm going to say blue. No, I'm going to say red. I'm going to say blue. 7-4
Gray. And that's the odds on favorite, but it's 1-2
I'm going blue. I think he's going to upset everybody. Bill Belichick hoodie type. Will his sleeves be cut or will they be intact?
Intact.
I say they're cut.
Oh, yeah. It's an Arizona.
They got to be cut. That's the favorite. That's a 2/3 bet.
It'd be funny if he comes out in 3-piece.
You'd have to bet 150 to win 100 with the sleeves cut. He's going to cut them off. He's going to hate them. He's probably going to be wearing the special Super Bowl New England Patriot hoodie, too.
I don't know how they're going to figure out this next
one. Will he smile during the game on camera? Do you know that the yes is an underdog bet? Plus 150? I'm going to take the yes. I say he smiles.
I can't imagine that
he'll
smile if he's
that's
winning.
That's going to cover
the
trophy. Win.
He seems like the kind of guy who just wouldn't even smile at his own wedding or.
Oh yeah, no. He smiled last week. Which song will Katy Perry perform first at halftime?
Who cares?
Fireworks roar. This is how we do. I think it's going to dark horse ET. I don't care.
Yeah.
What will Katy Perry be wearing? No clothes. I picked. That's like 100-1. What color will her hair be when she begins the halftime show? Oh. I'm going to say pink red. 3-1.
Here's the over pick of the century.
What?
How many times will Gisele Bündchen be shown on TV?
Over.
Over.
She's going to be
over
shown.
Over 1.5.
I'd show her twice on the same play just so I could see her. But a lot of times Gisele's in a box and you can't even see her.
Hey, let me out.
That's the problem. Will it be mentioned that Pete Carroll was the last head coach of the Patriots? Of course. And why they wouldn't mention that, I have no idea, but that's an underdog
bet.
But
remember,
bet.
These are all during the game. They're going to be talking about it during the game.
What will the Nielsen rating be? Over-under's 47.5. I say over.
They're calling this the biggest.
That's got to be over. It's going to be in the 50s. Which region will have the highest rating, Boston or Seattle? It's got to be Seattle.
Boston. Boston's one of the major. One of the big major.
Then why are they plus 110 and Seattle's minus 150?
Because Vegas always wants to win.
All right. No. everybody's going to bet Seattle is what they're saying. How many viewers will the game have? Over under 113 million. They're going to say over. I say.
Yeah, I don't know the history of that, so I plead ignorant on that.
All right, here we go. Who will the Super Bowl MVP mention first in his interview? I'm going to say God because I think it's going to be Russell Wilson. 5-1. That's good money. And teammates is the number one pick at 3-2. Fan City are 15-2. That's like 7-1. No one's going to thank their coach. 12-1. Are you kidding me? Family, maybe. Owner, no way. Does not mention any. I'm going to say God. 5-1. It's Russell Wilson.
Ah.
Hey, go ahead and make your call, people offshore. Take that, God. Hey, God is the reason that we're even playing this game.
But if it's Brady, that would be teammates first.
Nah, it'll be Gisele Bündchen. He'll say, would you please show her 3 times? I have serious money on her. Special, here you go. What color will the Gatorade be dumped on the head of the winning Super Bowl team? It's always
blue.
I'm going to say orange. It's always orange. Orange is the favorite, 3-2. Here's another one. What will happen to the Dow after the Super Bowl? I'm going to say the market is going to be down. Oh, these are great.
Weird. I've never
Russell Wilson passing yards, minus 15.5. What is that? I don't even care about that.
Then,
hey, do I need to go somewhere?
National gas price and cents on Monday.
Hey, we need to go, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Hey, we'll be back in a minute with more Bruce Hall's Second Opinion, and I think I've got... Who do I have coming on?
Hey, you know somebody.
I got Bruce Bochy coming on. Hopefully he'll be calling in soon. You have to pay attention, see if he calls in.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation by calling 240-317-7294 or on Twitter, #BHSports. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
Well, for those of you that have waited till the end of my show, you'll be happy you did. On the line, I've got the manager of the world champion San Francisco Giants, Bruce Bochy, an old Little League buddy of mine. He was little back then, but he's not very little anymore if you've seen him. Bochy, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Bruce, I'm doing well. Good to be on the show. I'm not sure why you're talking to me on Super Bowl day, but glad to be here. Thanks.
Yeah, no, listen, this is my last show ever, and you're my most famous fun guest. And you've always been straight up with me. You always tell me what's going on. You always treat me like I'm a member of the family when I come to Scottsdale in the spring and interview all those great kids that I've gotten to know. Listen, it's not very often that in a five-year period you win three world championships in baseball. Just doesn't happen. And you guys have done that, and I got to take some of the credit for that, because I was I don't ever jinx you in San Francisco. I've never, if you remember, my wife and my daughter have been out there to see you, but I never go to San Francisco because it's just bad karma. But I'm your away guy. I'm your road guy. And I show up on the road, and God, Boats, you made me go to Kansas City and see Game 7, and I was so glad I did get there, but I was so wore out after that trip. I don't know how many more of these I can take. I would like to see you guys win an odd number year this year. Can we do that this year for a change?
Well, I'd like to think we can, and that's the mantra now. Let's win on an odd year. And, Bruce, as you mentioned, it's so difficult. I mean, first of all, you got to get there. And then once you get there, it's really becomes a little bit of a crapshoot, I think. You got to play your best ball and have the right type of guys. And we have that. I mean, we have some warriors here. And once we got there and we got through Pittsburgh, I thought that was the biggest game. It's obvious Game 7, but I mean, the Pittsburgh game to get us to the next round where there's a little margin of error. But I'd like to think we can do it in 13. And we've retained most of our club. We've lost Sandoval and Morris, but I think McGee's going to fill in nicely at third base. And I like this Aoki. He can get on base and hit lefties and doesn't have the power that Morris has, but he'll provide some offense and score some runs for us.
You know, McGee is an interesting guy. He's from the Bay Area. He's kind of a heavy guy. He looks kind of a little bit like a more of a football player than he does a baseball player. But I watched him last year. He makes great contact. He's got good hands. And you know what's really kind of deceptive about him is he's a pretty good defensive third baseman. He's not bad at all.
He is. He's made himself a good all-around player. He did a pretty nice job with Milwaukee. Then he got derailed there, and he went to Japan and worked on his game, came back, and was a different player for the Marlins. In fact, he was the guy that was protecting Stanton. But at third base, I don't think we're going to lose anything defensively. And that's saying a lot because Sandoval had his best year last year defensively. But I think McGee's going to be just fine down there, and he's going to soften the blow of losing Sandoval.
Well, you know, a lot of people, you know, and you hear this all the time, you probably get tired of hearing it, but, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you can't really lose Pablo. I mean, look at how great he's been in the World Series and in the playoffs. You know what? How about the others 162 games, Boach? You know how important they are. You know, Pablo's a good player. Don't get me wrong, but I'm like you. I thought he had a better defensive year last year than offensive. He only hit 12 home runs. I mean, McGahee's going to drive in 60, 70, 75 runs for you. You got Belt back. Hopefully he's healthy. Joe Panik turned out to be the guy that you all dreamed he would be when you drafted him in the first round out of St. John's. The kid made the play of the World Series at second base on that double play. I still can't believe he turned that. I mean, what do you think about Joe Panik?
Well, we don't win the World Series and maybe get there without Joe Panik. We had a hole there at second base. We lost Scudero and Brandon Hicks. He started out as our second baseman and did a really good job. First month, he was swinging the bat very well, hitting some home runs, and then he had his struggles. And we tried some other guys, and then Joe Panik was having a nice year in AAA. We brought him up, and I knew he was a nice little player, but I didn't realize he was this good until I got to see him on a daily basis and the defense, the offense. He's a tough out, short swing, and you're right, that play in the seventh game, I mean, we can talk about Morse's hits and, sure, of course, Bumgarner's effort, but that defensive play changed the whole game. That was the turning point, I thought, because if he doesn't make that play, it's first and third, nobody out, and I'm on my way to get Affeldt to bring in Lincecum. And he not only made the play, he got the guy at second, but we got a double play out of it.
Well, you know how I didn't get into the clubhouse for the celebration was because I wouldn't leave my seat. Your son Brett kept texting me, get up here. We're going to go. And I'm like, I'm not moving. We're up 3-2. You know, don't worry about it. I'm right here. I'd stand up and wave. My point is that game, there was no scoring after what, the fourth inning? And then Bum comes in there. Their bullpen kind of, shuts everything down. And our bullpen was a guy named Madison Bumgarner. I was listening to an interview yesterday on Major League Baseball Network while I was in the car. It was Wilbur Wood. You remember Wilbur Wood. And Wilbur Wood, sure, used to pitch for the White Sox and a bunch of different teams. But he threw like 380 innings a year as a knuckleballer. Nobody does that anymore, but Bum, on 2 days rest, was it 2 days rest or 1 day rest?
2 days.
2 days rest, Bum comes in, five innings, shuts them down. And you know what? When he came in the game, Bruce, could you tell how quiet it got in the stadium?
Oh, yeah. You could tell. I mean, he came out of the bullpen. And it was like John Wayne when that bullpen gate opened. And, you could sense, how the Royal fans were going, oh, no, now we could be in trouble here. And when he came in, if you remember, he gave up a base hit to the first guy. It wasn't, his stuff wasn't what it normally is. And so,
not when he came in. Yeah, you're right.
No, yeah, he gave up a hit. In fact, Aoki hit a line drive down the left field line. Perez was positioned perfectly on by Roberto Kelly. But anyway, he's struggling a little bit out there. We're not really, he just didn't have his good stuff. And so Posey goes out there and says, are you all right? And Bumgarner, with his southern drawl, says, hey, I'm trying to get loose. And we got a one-run game. But, once he, got that out from Aoki, you saw his velocity go up. And next inning, he was the Bumgarner that, pitched so great throughout the postseason from that point on.
His breaking ball was real good early. And then when he started hitting 92, 93 on the gun, he was throwing 88, 89 when he came in with his fastball. But you know what? When you got that good breaking ball, 88, 89 miles will be 95 anyway. And they weren't really hitting him. They got that one hit you talked about. And then that was pretty much it until there's two outs. And then there's that play in left field that I almost had a heart attack on. And I wished he had gone. He'd have been out at home. But they helped us out by not sending him anyway. So I was glad they didn't. Listen, let's talk a little bit about how successful you and Brian Sabian have been. I got about 30 seconds left before we break. Boach, can you stay for my last segment of my career over here in New York? I'll keep you on hold, and we'll talk a little bit about the next year. And we got to talk about Super Bowl because I know you like football. You'll watch football from time to time. By the way, a good buddy of yours got into the Hall of Fame yesterday, Junior Seau. I met him with you. We went to his restaurant. You introduced me to him. I'll never forget that. That was like 12 years ago or so. And what a great guy he was in his community and everything else. Boach, can you hold on, and we'll finish up when I get back?
Okay.
All right, buddy. We'll be back with Bruce Boach here in a minute. This is Bruce Hall with Second Opinion.
We're back on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Join the conversation anytime by calling 240-317-7294. Now, here's your hosts, Bruce Hall and Roy G.
We're back with a good buddy of mine and the greatest manager that I've ever known in the history of baseball, and a pretty good catcher back when he was 11 years old, too, Bruce Boach. Bruce, listen, I'm getting excited because I'm on my last few minutes of my show for the year, and I'm on the phone with a guy that I think the world of. And you know what I'm really proud of what you've done with the Giants, because you know I've been on your butt since you took the job, right? I'll never forget when you took the job. And you had to clean a little bit of house when you got to San Francisco. And then in 2000, I guess it was, 2000, you win your first World Series. And in 2002, you win another one. And this in 2000, no, what am I talking about? I'm only 10 years off, Bruce. 2010, 2012.
That's not bad.
Hey, but,
yeah,
but
10, 12, and 14.
But what was it that, what was the one thing, you know what I'm so proud of you about? You just signed a guy, Naori Aoki, who played against you in the World Series, from the Kansas City Royals, and he's a very similar ball player to a guy you've already got on your team, except he doesn't punch out as much as Gregor Blanco. But Blanco's a great defensive player. He can run the bases. He's got two rings, I think, right, Blanco?
Yeah, oh yeah.
And the thing I love about what you did was you know that the most important thing in baseball is to score runs. And I'm looking at your lineup right now. Who have you lost except Pablo? I mean, I don't see anybody else that really is going to make – you've got your ball club intact that won the World Series. And you added – you were able to keep Ryan Vogelsong somehow. You kept Huddy, right? You got Timmy coming back for another year, right?
Right.
You got Matt Cain that's supposed to be healthy this year, who, you know, could be your number two. And you got maybe the guy I can see. Look, everybody loves Kershaw, and I think that's great, but I'll take Bum, thank you, because he can hit the ball out of the park too. And I just like his attitude, you know. He's a throwback. This kid is like ball players used to be back in a long time ago. And you've got all of these guys, and you replace Pablo with McGahee, and you got Belt. Didn't you even keep Ishikawa?
Yeah, he's coming to the camp with us. He's on our roster. So, no, you're right. And we're excited about where we're at with this offense. You know, the one question that's, you know, it's going to get asked about our offense is our power. You know, Pablo, he only hit 12 home runs, but it was 12, and Morris we'll miss his power. So, you know, that's the one area that, we may not quite have like we did last year. But, you know, there's different ways to score runs, as you just mentioned. And Aoki's a run scorer. He can steal a base. McGee, he can get on base and get a big hit for you. So, we figure he'll drive in about as many runs as Pablo did last year. So, you know, it is a similar offense. The pitching, we got to get healthy. Matt Cain is doing very well. He's throwing every other day now, and so we think he's going to be ready opening day. Hudson had the surgery on his ankle week. We think he'll be ready. But we got backup with the starters with Vogelsong and Petit, and we have our bullpen back. We signed Romo, so we're good to go.
Now let me ask you this. There was a kid that made September call-up by the name of Bochy. Now he's not on the 40-man roster, but does Brett have a shot in training camp this year? He does, doesn't he?
Well, he's a long shot. More likely, he's heading to Sacramento. But, that was probably my biggest moment in baseball when I get to call Brett in from the bullpen. And that was a very emotional, very nervous moment, but a proud moment, too. And I'm so proud of what he's done to work his way up to the big leagues. He's going to get a World Series ring. He just got measured yesterday. And
wow.
So, that's a memory that will always stay with me. And I just, talked to him, about an hour ago. And he's working out in Denver. But he's a long shot to make the club. He knows it. But, hey, he's good insurance. And, my gut is he's going to work his way back up here.
Plus, he's not going to tear his arm up, and he'll be there for you forever. Listen, Brett throws, lower 90s, and he's got a great slider. And I've seen him pitch a lot, because one of the toughest things that people don't even understand about what you do is that it's hard. It was always hard for you to see Brett pitch because he's playing ball when you're playing ball somewhere else. And I've always enjoyed going and watching Brett, and he's a great young man. You got another son who's a phenomenal kid that's a firefighter in San Francisco, right?
Right.
And
right.
And of course your wife is like, she's a saint. I mean, so is mine. So, you know, I mean, there's a special place in heaven for our two wives. I know that. Bruce, listen, let's talk football real quick. We got about 3 or 4 minutes here. This is getting real interesting. You know, I mean, in baseball, if you were accused of doctoring that, like, in other words, if you got caught with a corked bat somehow, wouldn't you lose a few games and get penalized or something?
Oh, yeah, if you cork a bat, sure. That's you know, that's probably a good 5 to 7 day suspension, sure. Yeah,
and if you did it over a period of time and just kept doing it, I mean, you know, this thing with the New England Patriots, now don't get me wrong, you know, I you know me, I'm kind of a big I'm a big conspiracy theory guy anyway. As a matter of fact, when you were in Texas winning a World Series, we went down one day. I went with your with the family and showed them Dealey Plaza, and it was you know, it's unbelievable what's down there. But this thing with Spygate and the New England Patriots, I mean, it's, I don't think this would happen in baseball, do you?
You know, I've been asked that. You know, why doesn't football handle the balls like baseball does? You know, baseball, the balls are not handled by the umpire like it used to be. Our clubhouse kids rub them up, and they bring them down, and they're in the home dugout. So, you know, if you went to the doctor some baseballs up, and really the only way you could do it, I mean, it's not like there's air in them, but you could rub them up a little bit more than normal, make them darker. You know, Colorado, they've raised eyebrows with that humidor there.
Oh, yeah.
Which balls are you hitting with or throwing with? Is it the humidor ball or is it the regular ball? And there's a big difference in Colorado. So I think it's going to make baseball, you know, look how they handle the baseballs, just like, the football situation. So. But not to change the subject here, but by the way, I have not heard the Bruce Hall pick for the Super Bowl.
You want me? Do you really want to know? I like Seattle. And the only reason I like Seattle is I just like the defense, and I think that everybody's healthy, and I think I like Russell Wilson. Look, Russell Wilson played against Brett in A-ball when he was in Brett told me that he played for the Asheville Tourists for a couple years. And Brett also said he was okay. I mean, he wasn't great, but he was a decent ball player. I like Russell Wilson. I just like the kid. Any kid that goes to a place like NC State, and I hate NC State, and tells a coach like Tom O'Brien, and I hate Tom O'Brien too, I don't like him much, that I want to play baseball, and the football coach goes to the kid and goes, well, you're not going to play baseball here, son. You're on football scholarship. And then he goes to Wisconsin, where he gets drafted in the third round by Seattle, and he wins a Super Bowl in his second year. I think that's pretty special. You know what I mean? And so I'm taking the kid.
He's a great athlete, but the guy on the other side is not too bad either. So it's going to be a great game.
Well, you know what? Whoever runs the ball effectively, Bruce, is going to win. And in my opinion, I think the total's 47.5. Now, I like the under a little bit, but I like a low scoring game here. I think it's going to be like 23-17, 20-17. I think the defenses are going to dominate for a while, and I think it's going to come down to, you know, turnovers and who can run the ball in the fourth quarter. And I think Marshawn Lynch, what is with that? That guy's an animal, you know.
Right.
And everybody.
Well, I know one thing. I don't know the last time you missed a Super Bowl game. I don't know. It might have been last year. Was your only one? I don't know. Or did you hit that one too?
I think I hit that one, but I haven't had a particularly good year, and it's because I just it's been a tough year. I think I hit 53.8%, which is basically pushing. But I compete in the National Handicappers Bowl every year, and I love watching football. Football's fun. I know you're a big baseball guy, and knowing you, Boach, you probably don't have time to watch football. But I got to tell you something. It's been a hell of a year, and it's been a hell of a year for you too. I mean, I'm so proud of you. People ask me all the time what you're like, and I just tell them. I said, you know, he's the same kid I knew. He hasn't changed ever. He still just has a lot of fun. You love to hunt. You love to fish. You love kids. You know, you love your kids. I mean, people talk about coaching at that level, as opposed to like the level I coach at in high school and college, they're all kids, Boach, aren't they? Every damn one of them.
But Yeah, they are. And, I'm lucky because I got a special group. I got a lot of character in that clubhouse. And, you know, we did change the culture back in 2007 when I came up here. And we had to. And we went more toward pitching and defense and wanted, great makeup guys. And so Brian Sabian's done a terrific job of getting the type of players that, we like having. And, we think fit and the type of ball that we want to play. So I'm having such a great time. And, of course, you're always there with your ideas. And so it makes me think. And, that's what I like, guys, with different ideas. There's different ways to do things. But, with your emails and messages, we have fun debating, which way to go. But it's just been a terrific run, a hell of a run. And I lost my third base coach. He's going to step back and play some music. But I got Billy Hayes. He'll help me out. He's a good friend.
Is Billy going to coach third, are you going to take the guy from first base and put him there?
He's going to take first base, and Kelly's going to third base.
So, what? Billy will be good at first base. Shoot, Billy. Yeah. Listen, Boach, I got to let you go. We're getting ready to get out of here. I can't thank you enough, and I'll see you in Scottsdale. And listen, bring your golf clubs. First day you have off, we got to play golf unless you go somewhere else, like you always do. All right, buddy, I'll see you. Bruce Boach, manager of the San Francisco Giants, great manager. Future Hall of Famer. Listen, I got to thank everybody that listens to this show. We've been on the air. I thought we were on the air 2 or 3 years. Evidently, I've been on the air 4 years in New York. Time flies when you're having fun. Never really understood exactly how many people listen to the show and stuff. But we do know that on the Sunday format, we've had a blast doing this show. I'd like to thank all of the people who are my regulars. Clark Judge, I'd love to thank you, Clark. You're good as gold. One of the top NFL guys alive. TalkOfFameNetwork.com. Also like to thank Russell Baxter, ProFootballGuru.com. We will see you somewhere in the future on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Goodbye.